Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Alex Cora post-game on the belief that he had and has in Garrett Crochet, and even Wiggy acknowledged a great job managing mm-hmm. that ball game and that win last night, Curtis, from Alex Cora.
Could you make the argument that if you flipped managers last night that the other team wins? That if Cora is managing the Yankees, Freed doesn't get taken out at 100 pitches, and they win the game.
Yeah,
and Crochet gets taken
and
out.
Crochet gets taken out at the same stage.
Yeah, that's just stupid.
That was it, and that wasn't a second guess. Everybody watching that game in real time said, "What the hell are you doing?" He was dominant yesterday, and I actually thought that he got squeezed more than Crochet did by the ump. There were a couple.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will say the broadcast was tilted, but
you always feel that way, Curtis.
No, I generally I don't actually. I mean, Carl Ravitch is from Needham. He shouldn't hate the Red Sox, but it was just odd to me yesterday in how they. So Crochet would be against an inferior hitter, and that batter would get it to like five pitches in the at bat.
Yeah, and they're like great at bat. Oh, unbelievable!
This is already a win. And then Freed would have like six. I mean, the Narvaez at bats were like their own innings, and they would never say what Narvaez was doing was the same as what the Yankee bum was doing.
Narvaez was great at the plate work in those counts. Yeah. Three walks.
That's where I think that next year where you'll see that strike thing come into play, where you can challenge the balls and strikes, because there was a couple, you know, third strikes that would have been third strikes that you would challenge that you could see will really change the outcome of a game if you have those challenges in your back pocket.
Yeah.
You could see that how that's going to play into some games next year.
Well, there was a pitch that Chapman threw, bases racked, which was, I mean, and they went into the deep dive with the help of artificial intelligence last night on where that pitch ended up. And it looked like it could have been a strike.
Well, Lou and Middlebrooks on the radio last night were even commenting how in Narvaez's first walk, like, he thought he should have been walked earlier on the pitch before and then got the ball that he wanted. And so he, like, whipped his bat over to the sideline. And they're like, please don't do that right in the face of the umpire. We don't want to piss him off the rest of the game.
That's where I'll give you the AI, because and the AI could probably take over managers' jobs in baseball, because Aaron Boone is an absolute buffoon. Like, we all knew, like, why would you be taking this guy out? There was nobody on base. He still was looking good. What was that, 99 pitches? They took him
right
out.
Around 100.
Yeah, so you leave him in there until he gets into a little bit of trouble.
Yeah.
You know, and that's like, man, James could have seen that one coming.
Oh, he did. We were watching it. Big game last night.
Yeah.
I was shocked. And it wasn't like the Red Sox had good at-bats in terms of putting the bat on the ball. Like, the double by Eaton was a sort of excuse me single to right that landed behind the first baseman. Like, they weren't barreling anything.
If that's Cora and it's the Red Sox today,
killing him.
I'm calling for his head. He should be fired.
508 texter on the Subaru of New England text line. I'll just read it verbatim. Just tuned in. Is the guy who wanted Alex Cora fired all season now commending him?
Give him some credit.
Yeah. Please say verbatim.
But it's not him, though. At the end of the day,
you wanted him in June. You wanted his ass canned.
Yeah, I did.
Like, let's be clear.
I give him a little bit of credit, but at the end of the day, the reason why this team is doing what they're doing is because of Bresbot.
Yeah.
Cora gets a little credit at the decision he made. I gave him credit for last night for the aggressive base running.
Good morning.
And bringing in Chapman in the eighth. But it's all Bresbot.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we will hear from Aaron Judge during They Said It in about 10 minutes or so, and the compliment that he gave to Garrett Crochet postgame. That is all coming up, and the Red Sox with an opportunity this evening to close it out. This is Steve in the truck. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, gentlemen and ladies. Courtney, congratulations.
Thank you.
Hope you have a very healthy, happy baby, which I know you will. A couple of things. The Yankees now join only one other team that have had the bases loaded with no outs in the ninth inning and don't score any runs. That was the Phillies 2 years back. That's one of the things that, you know, doesn't happen too often. But, Wiggy, on another note with Alex Cora, you can't just give him credit for the bases and all that. You're going to give him credit for putting Sonigard in that game last night and putting up Yoshida when he did. Mm-hmm. He does know what these guys are capable of. And I understand you have issues with some of these baseball managers because they don't do a lot. But he's a knowledgeable guy, and he knows pitchers, and he knows what these guys' strengths are against certain pitchers. Yeah, why I think a lot of this is on him.
I gave him credit for the Yoshida early in the show.
I heard you.
Yeah, I just think that, like, we have to really give credit to, like, he's done a good job, but you can't give him all the credit when they do well. And when they don't do well, blame Breslow. You have to give Breslow a lot of credit. Narvaez was a guy that Breslow brought in. We obviously talk about, Curtis was right, he brought up Chapman, Crochet, and Bregman. And maybe Bregman is a little bit more core than Breslow. But, you know, I give Breslow a lot of credit.
But I feel like Alex Cora did what Wiggy and I just did, which is when they won, it was him. When they lost, they didn't do enough at the deadline. So now that they did a better job in the offseason, Cora should give credit to Breslow, and I think he would.
Okay. If you want to talk Red Sox this morning and all day long today, this is the place to do it. And the number to call is 617-779-7937. And we've talked a lot of baseball, so I'm going to go in a different direction briefly with my lead, which is the last remaining lead this morning. And my lead is that Ben Johnson felt the need to apologize yesterday for the halftime interview interaction over the weekend, and I don't think he should have felt that. Do you want the interaction first or the apology first?
Let's hear the interaction first.
Okay, so NFL is I love the fact that you get the sideline interview with the coaches, one heading into halftime, one afterwards. I love it. I think it's great for football. It's great for the NFL. It's great for the broadcast. Here's the way it went with Ben Johnson on Sunday.
Your offense has struggled to take advantage of those takeaways.
Yep.
Okay, so what did you tell them to get things going?
That it wasn't our brand of football. We're capable of a lot more, and so we're hitting the reset button here at halftime, and we're going to come back and establish our identity here in the second half.
So you need to change what you're doing.
I don't know. You think so? We're going to do just fine.
So those watching felt like he was a little bit hacked off, that he thought she said, you need to change what you're doing. And how dare a sideline reporter say, I need to change what I'm doing. So
they were mad at her?
They were mad at him. They were outraged that he reacted so meanly toward an NFL.
Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it. Go ahead and say it.
Towards a female sideline reporter.
Yes.
Well, I thought we didn't play it, but he went on to say, wow, you must have a rich husband. Look at that ring.
So here's the apology that he felt he had to offer to those who were offended yesterday.
Yeah, you know, I honestly didn't think too much of it. I'm kind of in game mode. But then when I look back at it, you know, I am a little bit disappointed with what that looks like. You know, I didn't hear very well, and that's not an excuse. But when I thought I heard that it was not a question, but that I needed to make some changes, I didn't take that very well. So I'll do a better job with those going forward.
Wow. No, you don't owe anybody an apology. If you want to ask these guys mid-game to take a couple minutes to talk to somebody, you might get them at a period of time when they're focused on trying to win a football game.
Right.
Like, there's no apology needed there as far as I'm concerned.
And it didn't sound like a question. Like, the second part of it, it didn't sound like it.
No, it sounded like she was saying you needed to do something different. And
you need to change what you're doing.
I don't know. You think so?
You need to change what you're doing.
I mean, you know why we're here. Just say it. Well, why we're here. The reason that we're here is because she's a woman. If that was a man, do you think there's outrage and he has to apologize?
I think no. I think that if it was a man, people would be coming at the reporter. I think they wouldn't be coming at Ben Johnson.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that if it was Evan out there doing halftime, they would be like, oh, he thinks he knows what they need to do. They would be coming at him more than they would be coming after Ben Johnson. Yeah. And I think that's annoying for a lot of women out there that do these interviews with the coaches.
But don't you think, like, and I'm going to ask you, Courtney, because clearly you're the woman in the room.
Thank you.
Isn't this like, does this get you upset because I didn't have an issue whether it would have been a male or a female, but does it get you upset that every time a woman asks something and the response isn't like the most pleasant thing, that the man always has to go back and apologize it feels like, oh, did you hurt her feelings?
Yeah, I think that the public outrage for some women when the woman does not need it. I don't need other people telling me that Mike Vrabel's not nice to me or Mike Vrabel should have answered something differently. I'm sure she feels the same way. Like, I'm sure she listens to that interview and says, shoot, the start of my question got cut off. It did sound that way. I wish could have.
You had a lead last week or the week before about how you weren't butthurt when Mike Vrabel said something about your engagement ring.
No.
It didn't bother you. You don't care.
No. I don't care. I would rather be treated the same way that he treats Wiggy, Greg, Curtis in the room. Than him tiptoeing around me. Like, that's the last thing that I want. If anything, that makes it more uncomfortable for me and I think a lot of women out there. I'm sure that she looks at that video. She is not offended with the way he responded. She's pissed that her mic cut off the start of her question.
Yeah,
I would also say the strangest social contagion of the last 20 years or since the advent of social media is the desire to be offended on others' behalf. Like, if the person that asked the question isn't offended, it's over. Like, think about the rest of your life. If you have an interaction with someone, you may say something indelicately, you both talk and it's fine. Imagine then getting a text an hour later that a guy you've never met is mad at you because of what you said to your friend. It's just so stupid.
I just look in sports world today, you know, and women have come a long way, same way there have been, you know, whether it's been women, it's been black people in sports media. People have come a long way. And I sometimes feel like when you start to use certain things to be like, oh, that was wrong how they treated that person, what you're actually doing is setting us back because it's not like we want to be treated equally. And you wouldn't have an issue if it was a man. And maybe, like you said, maybe some people would be like, oh, the guy thinks he knows better or whatever.
It would be like when Shime says something to Ty.
Right. But it would be like.
She's 100% right.
But that would be
right?
like.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that would be like, so it'd be like, all right, we would go through that stop sign. No big deal. Nobody has to apologize. I feel like it sets us back, you know, and it sets women back in sports media because it makes it seem like you have to tiptoe away around how you handle.
Not speaking for her, just speaking for how I would feel in that moment. I'd be so embarrassed that it came off in a certain way, the way in which I said that's what he should do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where my mind would be. I wouldn't be sitting there saying, wow, thank you guys for sticking up for me. Thank you, Ben Johnson, for apologizing. I would feel so annoyed at myself that a question came off that way.
Yeah, but there's a Rhode Island texter who is like, you guys are way off base. It was the stare that he gave her. Like, I don't care. I've watched the interaction 5 times.
I don't know. You think so?
Like, I don't get, like,
it was the stare at the very end that people were really upset about. And, like, listen, I'm sure Ben Johnson watching it back is like, damn, I wish I had just walked off at that point.
Yeah.
But
if someone's telling you, an NFL head coach, you need to change things, I might react the same way.
A stupid question is a stupid question, whether it comes from a man or a female, right? And if somebody responds to that stupid question and like, are you serious? You think? Yeah. I don't think that person should have to apologize based on who the gender of the person asking the question.
Yeah, I agree with you. All right. Those are our leads. Let's open the Window World of Boston weather window for our keeper of the window, the WEEI weather smoke, Chris Curtis, and get a forecast. All right, what do you see out there today, Curtis?
Right now, holy cow, feels like 44 outside in Boston. Going to go up to about 67 degrees, sunny skies here, and more importantly, in the home of the tonight for the Red Sox victory celebration at the Bronx at Yankee Stadium. Going to be about 64 degrees at first pitch. Perfect night for baseball in the Bronx.
Okay, get the ski goggles ready.
It's cold out there, man.
Throw that, throw the tarp up.
Right.
Can you order, should you order the tarp, the plastic tarp for the celebration on DoorDash, or will they think that you're a murderer?
I don't know. You think so?
Yeah, usually that's a clear-cut right. Okay. Sign. Yeah.
If Cora starts getting the zip ties, we're in trouble.
Okay. Oh, can I just say quickly, new documentary that just launched on Hulu, Death in Apartment 603. All right. Wow.
Really?
Takes place in Philly. Fiancés living together in this apartment, the Venice Lofts in Philly. And fiancé male goes down to work out in the apartment complex. 38, 40 minutes, comes back up. Doors latched from the inside. He breaks down the door after an hour of waiting, texting her, what are you doing? What are you doing? Goes in. She's stabbed to death. They call it a suicide. She's stabbed like over 20 times, some in her back.
Jesus.
And they called it a suicide.
Yes.
And I think that case was prominent in the news.
Right.
Yes.
Because the family had to fight to get an investigation done. Is
correct. Right? Okay. But it happened in 2011. Family didn't really start talking to media until 2017.
Yes.
And what happened? Because the doors were locked in from the inside?
You got to watch it.
I don't want to watch it. Can you just
watch it? No, you have to watch it. We don't,
I'm going to Google. What's the name of it?
Greg, is this why you tell Trainer Dan no workouts longer than 20 minutes?
We were back strong yesterday. You guys ridiculed me so much about my appearance and about not going to Trainer Dan that I went right back yesterday.
What was yesterday's day? Arms,
it was,
legs?
It was everything. It was
full body.
It was buys. It was tries.
Wow.
It was we threw the medicine. We were throwing the medicine ball around like there's no tomorrow. Mm. Like, I mean.
So there were two hosses yesterday, you and Crochet.
Generation Jones. Yeah. Full on. I mean, I could barely walk this morning. We went so hard yesterday.
Wow.
Okay. All right. Where was I? Oh, you can get a whole house full of windows installed for just $99 a month from Window World of Boston. Go to windowworldofboston.com. I will also say, as long as we're watching about or talking about viewing opportunities, Task HBO, which Rich Keefe recommended to me and I didn't love after episode one, has become extraordinary. I don't know if anybody on the show is watching it, if it's just Rich and I. Curtis, are you in on Task?
I'm not.
You have to be.
Okay.
It is.
I will be binging upon season's end.
You're waiting.
I'm a binger. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't watch in real time.
Task.
Not just television. I mean, no offense, but I've seen you go at some Chick-fil-A sandwiches. Like the binge would never end.
All right, dude.
Let's get to what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Red Sox win. They take game one of the wild card series in the Bronx, taking down the Yankees 3-1. Garrett Crochet went 7 2/3, giving up a run on four hits while striking out 11. Now, the Yankees led till the top of the seventh when Sidan Rafaela walked. Then Nick Sogard hit a line drive to right center field, taking second. And then Masataka Yoshida hit a two-run single. Aroldis Chapman closed this one out with bases loaded for the Yankees with one out. He gets it done. That series continues tonight. 6:08 first pitch with Brian Baio getting the start. Lou Maloney, Will Middlebrooks, and Will Fleming are on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcana, 5:08 for the MassMutual pregame show. And we have an update on Tyreek Hill. He will not need another surgery after undergoing a major procedure yesterday to repair that dislocated left knee and multiple torn ligaments, including his ACL. According to his agent, he is going to play next season. So very interesting there. And there are many options to lose weight. Are they safe? Maybe. Are they effective? Maybe. Will I keep the weight off? That's a maybe too. Last one, will it be easy and fit into my life again? That's maybe. Cut the maybes and go to the solution, awaken180weightloss.com. That's what's trending. Coming up next, we've got They Said It.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Red Sox with a win in game one of their series with the Yankees, and we will talk to Lou Merlone about that and about tonight and about all things Major League Baseball at 8:20 on today's show. Tomorrow, Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football, at 6:45. And I mentioned this yesterday, but we are introducing some new Bruins programming on this show throughout the season, and we will introduce that with those who are responsible tomorrow morning on this show as well. And then Friday, I talked about it during the commercial break, but we are heading to Newport, back to Newport, Rhode Island. Good morning and hello to all of our Rhode Island listeners. 103.7, I believe, is the frequency, Curtis, in Providence, Rhode Island.
Nailed it.
And so we will be at Newport Craft Brewery as a part of the Audrain Newport Concourse Motor Week. And we will be joined by the legendary host of the Tonight Show, Jay Leno, who was fantastic on the show last year down there. And will, I'm sure, have some interesting things to say about Jimmy Kimmel and about Colbert and about what is going on when it comes to the late night shows. So I can't wait to get Jay's perspective on that whole kerfuffle when we get down there, Rhode Island, on Friday morning. And can't wait to see all of you at the Newport Craft Brewery. Shyam, let's get to this.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up the Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
They said it is brought to you by Ketch's Law. At Ketch's Law, they don't just work here, they live here. Their attorneys and staff are your neighbors, standing beside you in your toughest moments. Over $3 billion won for injured New Englanders. That could be you, so call Ketch's Law today if you've been hurt at work. And, Shyam, where I'm hoping we're starting Red Sox this morning.
Of course we are, Greg. Where else would we begin? Last night, Aaron Judge was 2-for-4 in the game against the Red Sox and was asked about Garrett Crochet and his outing and facing him. Here is what Aaron Judge had to say about our war pig himself, Garrett Crochet.
That's the best pitcher in the game. You know, he's going to work all his pitches, you know, with a little bit more off-speed in there early on. But, you know, we got the Volpe homer, but couldn't really, and we got guys on there do much after that.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, just an outstanding effort from him. And Curtis said it earlier. We've said it a bunch. The reason you got him is to be able to do what he did when it comes to October. So.
Yeah.
Now
that
was
lights out.
Now you just got to hope that Brian Bayo is the guy that can lead you to the promised land this evening. So,
and Boone is getting barbecued in New York this week.
He should.
Michael Kay's blasting him. There's a couple post columns about the just absolutely disgraceful decision to pull Fried at that point.
I bet Costos is, because he's a big Yankees fan.
Well,
right?
He's not that tall, but yes.
But he's probably very upset. But like,
but
I just look at them. You look at the Red Sox. You look at what the Tigers did yesterday afternoon with Skubal going 7 2/3 and striking out 14. Like, this is why you have a legitimate number one starter. Because in a big game, when you need to get out in a lead in a playoff series, they go out and they just throw smoke and they strike out everybody and they sit guys down one after another. And that's exactly what Garrett Crochet did for you last night.
Yeah.
If Crochet didn't get that deal at the beginning of the year, how much more money would he be getting this offseason?
Wow.
Talk about another brilliant stroke by Breslow.
Yeah, because that check would have yesterday's price is not today's price because that bank.
Good morning.
That money would have went way up. I don't know what's he at, like 28 or 29 million per year.
No, that's Greg.
In his new deal, he would be close to like the $40 million range.
Yeah, he got a 6-year, $170 million. He'd be getting. Oh, Ooh. My, what a deal. Yeah.
6-for-$170 million. Oh, yeah. That's such a steal.
And it seems like he loves it here. And, you know, yesterday during they said it, we were talking about, you know, him. He was overruling Alex Cora and they were dressing like it's a business trip. And he just seems like a guy who is a leader on that team.
He's a leader. And the guys all look up to him. And it's one thing when you can just be a leader. It's another thing when you can be a leader and then go back it up with how you play on the field. Like, it's not just like one or the other with him. Yeah. It is both things.
And he looks like a guy that would punch a server in the face if you told him to get a steak well done.
What is next?
Well, speaking of Garrett Crochet, he spoke after the game. We played sound earlier in the show of Alex Cora talking about the story about how Garrett Crochet told him, you're only going to have to make one call. It's going to be to Chappie. That's the only time you're calling the bullpen tomorrow or last night. And so Crochet was asked about that story from Cora, and here is what Crochet had to say.
Just being arrogant, to be honest. You know, I didn't actually expect that to be the case, but, you know, when he sent me back out there, I was determined to leave it that way.
Do you ever wish you were one of these old-time throwback pitchers in another era and you could throw 130-pitch complete games every 5 days?
I don't know if it's sustainable with my velocity. I'm not sure how hard they were throwing back then, but I like to think that I'm prepared to do that even in today's game.
That's a good point. No.
I don't think you'd be wanting to pitch when they were making $1 million a year.
Yeah. I mean, you're throwing 101 miles an hour at, well, whatever it was, at pitch 116. Yeah. I don't know if you could do that, you know, consistently.
Credit Alex Cora.
No, I credit Bresbot.
We can't credit Cora when Breslow tells him when to pull him.
Right. Because remember, Breslow's the one. Remember, everybody's ripping Breslow for taking him out at 80 pitches or whatever the hell it was that one time. So
yeah, didn't Breslow say Cora just synthesizes the data? Isn't that the word?
That's right.
Good morning.
I did feel like there were times during that game last night where Alex Cora should have had the infield in on the grass farther. I don't know about you, Curtis, but
bases juiced. I was a little nervous. It's like, man, what are y'all doing here? I was like, please, just get Giancarlo out and then ground into a double play. That was all I was hoping for. Good for Chapman.
Well, next, let's head over to football because Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are doing this new thing. Did you guys see this?
Yeah.
The Mount Rushmores. They decided to start with their Mount Rushmores of receivers.
Uh-huh.
Both of them put a tight end on their Mount Rushmore. Peyton Manning put Tony Gonzalez on. Tom Brady put Gronk on his Mount Rushmore.
Whoa. Guy on this show,
right?
Played tight end.
Come on, Tom.
Unfortunately,
helped Tom Brady out a lot in his career.
Unfortunately, I don't believe what he was acknowledged at all.
That's actually next week on Mount Eatmore.
Can I get a little honorable mention? I love when fat people tell you you're fat.
That's
like
Curtis?
Somebody broke
you're
going, man,
Curtis
you
Curtis
so broke.
Fat?
Man, I told you, skinny fat.
Well, you're fat fat.
What do you mean he's skinny fat?
If you ever seen
I ran 7 miles yesterday.
I saw Curtis on a run the other day. You didn't see me, but I saw you.
Oh. He's skinny fat.
Ran like, right by me.
If we were both, blah, 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 blah. If we were both at the beach, people would be like, man, Curtis, put your shirt back on. He's built like Rourke Jr. from Sin City. You ever see that?
But he lost a ton of weight, and now he's bulking.
He's fat. You understand? He's got bigger breasts than most women.
I don't mean bulking. I don't mean bulking. I mean shredding.
Stop
it. Shredding.
That's called loose fat.
It's okay. Mount Eatmore was a good line. You can just move on.
That's called loose.
Mount Eatmore was really good.
That's called loose fat. You got to get
anyway,
that cut up.
Keep saying the same line over and over.
That's what it is. I'm trying to get Courtney Reich. Shredding is different. Shredding is completely different.
Than bulking, yes, I know.
Shredding's more like your boy from the Red Sox, Duran, with his shirt off.
Yeah.
That's shredding.
He is shredded.
DK Metcalf, shredding.
Yeah, Curtis, when he's, that's loose skin. It's not shredding.
Okay. Anyways, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning are doing this new Mount Rushmore thing. Here's Tom Brady making the case for why Rob Gronkowski should be on the Mount Rushmore of receivers all time in the NFL.
there are very few guys that could get open on someone. Rob Gronkowski could get open on Darrell Revis on the best corner of all time when Ocho Cinco couldn't, when T.O. couldn't, when other guys couldn't. Gronk could get open on with his size and length. So you're talking about the best cover guy in my mind that I ever played against was Darrell Revis. And there were plenty of times where I threw balls and I practiced. In 2014, Revis was a teammate, and I would put Gronk on Revis, and Gronk was the best I ever saw getting open on Revis. And that was because of size, and it was a tough matchup.
Wow.
That's the only reason.
I agree with that. But if I had to do Mount Rushmore of receivers...
It's super easy, isn't it?
Moss.
Yep. Jerry Rice.
Jerry.
T.O.
Hmm.
Oh, would you not have T.O.?
Imagine Jerry Rice did what he did with a quarterback that was not even in the top 25, Sean.
That's true.
Exactly. Well, he made those quarterbacks. That's why Steve Young was really good, too. And he didn't start till he was like 30.
Yeah, T.O. was good. Gronk is definitely, I mean, I guess if you're going to put, but Tony Gonzalez could get open against anybody, too, though.
But, like, if you're going to talk about Tony Gonzalez, you have to start talking about Travis Kelce, then. Like, and I think that's where you have to draw the line. If I have to talk about Travis Kelce because of Tony Gonzalez, I'm neither.
What do you mean you have
rushing.
To talk about?
Well, he's saying they should have done tight ends separately. Is essentially.
Well, I know. I'm just saying. I'm just saying that I think Travis Kelce is about the same as Tony Gonzalez. Pretty close. Like they are very close. And so, like, if you have to talk about one, you have to talk about the other.
But I would talk about Travis Kelce. I would not leave Travis Kelce off there. I would agree with you, Greg. They probably should have had their own tight end of Mount Rushmore.
That's fine.
That's the way you should have did it. But I'd go Moss, Jerry. You'd say T.O.
Yeah.
I could probably put T.O. up there. Larry Fitzgerald, man, was tough. He just never had that quarterback. Maybe I'd put Fitzgerald
up there. Yeah, I think Marcus Spears.
Oh, Megatron. Woo!
All right, Chime, anything else?
No, that'll do it today for They Said It, Greg.
Okay, excellent. The news with Courtney coming up momentarily. And then Lou Maloney on our Boston Red Sox, who are one game closer to advancing when it comes to the Major League Baseball playoffs. You can talk about that all day long here on the home of the Boston Red Sox, WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Have we invited the AG to the broadcast Friday morning in Newport at the Newport Craft Brewery? We should.
We should.
I don't know if she is currently suspended or if she's back at work or whatever, but love to have her and her friend join us on Friday morning. I don't know if they have work to do or what's going on. But
it's Friday.
It's Friday. Yeah. We'd love to see them. All right, Courtney, where do you want to start?
We're going to start with the government shutdown. It began at midnight. Both Republican and Democratic proposals that would have funded the government passed yesterday failed in the Senate during the 11th hour, effectively shutting down the government at 12:01 a.m. this morning.
Huh.
Essential employees will still be working. Some estimates that we are seeing says that the shutdown costs the government $7 billion a week.
A week?
Wow.
A week.
Oh, damn.
All right. The last shutdown began in December 2018.
Yes.
That I've lasted 35 days.
I've lived through many of these, and I feel like sometimes it's like a tree falling in the woods. If the government shuts down and it doesn't affect you at all, do you really need the government?
Yeah, I don't even notice.
That's my question.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to go all crazy, you know, guy living in shack in the woods or anything. But, I mean, it seems like we as human beings can just kind of continue on and do our jobs and live our lives without the government. So,
it's fascinating to me to see the old clips of the 90s of people now saying, people then saying what they agree with their loudest voice now. Like how all these politicians said that the things that the GOP is pushing for were good ideas, now say that they're the Antichrist. It's just fascinating. Why don't they play those for people? Like, you literally just said that you agree. This is this video. This is the same person. You weren't at gunpoint. You were on the floor of the Senate.
Yeah.
Well, President Trump announced yesterday that they have reached a settlement with the with Harvard University.
Oh.
Yeah. So the administration has been fighting with several universities, threatening to withhold federal funds over issues including pro-Palestine protests against Israel's war in Gaza, campus diversity, and transgender policies. We could hear from President Trump talking about what he expects to happen.
We're in the process of getting very close, and Linda's finishing up the final details, and they'd be paying about $500 million, and they'll be operating trade schools. They're going to be teaching people how to do AI and lots of other things, engines. Many automobile companies open their plants in the United States. They're all coming back for two reasons: tariffs, and I think they liked November 5th. They liked the person that was chosen, and you know, it's a big investment in trade school done by very smart people, and then their sins are forgiven.
Huh? It's actually a pretty cool thing. So Harvard is going to pay $500 million as a fine, and then they're going to set up these trade schools. So you could go
smart
to Harvard and learn AI or learn how to build. We're going to build many engines.
Uh-huh.
We're going to have more engines than anybody in the world.
Right.
And you can learn a trade at Harvard University. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, that you know who's going to love this is Jay Leno. Last year, he talked pretty highly about trade schools that do car and automobile.
Yeah. Big money, big money in them trade schools. Okay. I think is an electrician at the top of the list as far as jobs they have.
Yeah.
Yep.
Although they do need to talk to you because you announced on the show earlier that AI is going to fizzle out soon.
Yeah. I don't think you have to worry about AI coming in and rewiring your basement when it comes to your or plumbing. So
A1. When do you think it will fizzle out? Like when, like another year or so?
No, I would say, you know,
I mean, it's a $1 trillion industry currently, but
I guess if you're a therapist, maybe that's a person you have to be worried about because people they'll talk to an AI therapist.
But that's it really.
That's about it.
All right, thank you.
If you're keeping track, Methuen shut down 3 more spas yesterday. We've got a problem.
Who knew that Methuen was the golden triangle, maybe poor choice of words, when it came to all of these spas?
Yeah.
How many? So they've now shut down 5 of them.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. This comes, of course, the day that after the mayor declared a war on human trafficking. Cease and desist orders have been sent to Oriental Spa on Swan Street, Yellow Lily Day Spa on Baldwin Street, and Lavender Spa on Baldwin Street.
Not Lavender.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Oh, they shut that place down.
They did. Yeah. They did. Baldwin Street seemed like a hotbed.
I guess so. Yeah.
Here's Mayor DJ Beauregard on CBS Boston.
My job as the mayor of Methuen is to look out for my residents and to keep my city safe and to ensure that the people of this community feel safe, that women feel protected. It is freaking evil. And that's why we need to address it and we need to take it seriously.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is crazy. You're talking 5 spas in Methuen that were all...
Now we know why so many fancy cars driving around Methuen.
I mean, there are a lot of spas, like in all of these towns, that like there's always a place. And so I who knew that it was always, or apparently oftentimes it's nefarious things that are going on in there. And it's not just a back rub.
Right.
Yeah. So,
it's a back and front rub.
I guess
who knew Methuen was the hub?
I guess so. Mm-hmm.
Red Sox super fan known as Red Sox Jesus.
I don't know Red Sox Jesus.
Yeah, who's that?
Oh, he looks he dresses as Jesus.
Okay, do we have we have him for Twitch or YouTube for those that are watching the show? Okay,
Him after Sunday's game because he was jumped and attacked by a group of men as he was riding his bike home from the game on Sunday night near Kenmore Square.
Oh.
Yeah, the attackers stole his backpack, his wallet, his costume, as well as shouted anti-Semitic slurs at him while beating him up. Here's Red Sox Jesus, whose real name is Chad, on CBS Boston.
The next thing I know, I get hit in my eye. My eye shuts off for a couple of minutes. I'm getting hit in the back of my head. There's another guy over here. And I'm just getting hit by a bunch of dudes. Somebody saw it if they dumped it somewhere. If somebody saw my costume, it means the world to me because my sister gave it to me. It's not just any Jesus costume.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Makes me sad.
Is he on Bradfo's podcast?
He is.
Okay.
He's actually going to be the third man in tonight.
I hope he's okay.
Yeah, it seems like he's okay.
You're blocked.
Yeah. I feel like that's a pretty big difference, either Red Sox Jesus or Chad.
I know some people that are going straight to hell.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's right. Stay away from Red Sox Jesus. Okay, we got to take a break. But we will get to the rest of this morning's news next. And speaking of the Red Sox, we will be joined in about 20 minutes by the great Lou Merlone on this show.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.